Let us stand, all right, as we read God's word before the message. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, which will be our text today. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Okay, just three verses. We'll read all the verses together. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. We'll read all the verses slowly together. And then after we'll pray, we'll ask God to speak to us in a special way, okay? Ready? One, two, begin. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let's pray. Lord, we come before your holy presence today once again. Like the people of old who sat down quietly to listen to your word. And I pray you speak to our heart in a special way. For Father, I know that you have a message for us. Lord, we want to hear from heaven today. We ask, Father, it will not be Brother Johnny's words, but it will be the words of the Holy Spirit. Speaking into our hearts, Lord, digging the, as it were, things in our life that shouldn't be there, and then putting in things that should be there. Father, I pray for one who may not know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be a day of salvation. That, Father, they will see the emptiness of this world, and they will come to faith in Christ. For, Father, for a Christian who have trusted Christ, and perhaps have been so influenced by this world, I pray, God, that you would use this message and speak to our hearts. And I pray for every parent, everyone that is here, that God, thy word will sink deep into our hearts. Lord, we ask you to make the necessary changes and rearrangements in our life as you see fit, as our God, as we hear your word. And for us, we pray that you give us grace to believe what you have for us, and to receive, Lord, as from a heavenly Father who cares so much for us. Lord, I pray lives will be changed as a result of this message that you will give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ in his life has been tempted by many things, but here in Matthew chapter 4, one of the strongest onslaught, alright, not the strongest, I believe the strongest onslaught on the Lord Jesus Christ was perhaps in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he had to face the trial of his entire ministry, the preparation, not to just die on the cross, but to prepare himself to separate from God for our sakes. But here in Matthew chapter 4, you find that the Lord Jesus Christ has been fasting. You will find in Matthew chapter 4, it is the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been fasting for 40 days, what we would call a normal fast. A normal fast, there are three fasts in the Bible. Those who came on National Day, we had a little bit of teaching on the fast. There are three fasts in the Bible. One is called the partial fast. The partial fast involves perhaps missing a meal, or you just drink water and plain bread. Alright? And in other words, you don't have fruit juice, you don't have chendol, you don't have all that kind of thing. Alright? Just no dainties, just a partial fast, because you want to deny the flesh of those things so that you can focus on God. That's called a partial fast. Then the Bible says that secondly, there's this thing called a normal fast. The normal fast, as the meaning of fasting, is no food, only water. Only water. There are some people who say, oh, you can take fruit juice. No, biblically, fasting only water, okay? And so this is the fast that Jesus undertook for 40 days. No one can survive without water. But then there's another fast in the book of Exodus whereby Moses fasted 40 days plus 40 days. He fasted 80 days without food and water. That's called a supernatural fast. No one is to undertake that unless you are in the presence of God and you know God told you to do that. Esther, remember Esther said, I will fast for 3 days and three nights without water and without food to answer, for God to intervene because she's got to save the nation of Israel from Haman. And so that's called a supernatural fast. Here, Satan came to Jesus Christ to tempt him after 40 days of fasting. And if you look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. How many of you are hungry now? No one is hungry. Okay, I can go for you. Otherwise, I can go for a longer time. I'm just kidding. All right. Jesus was hungry. Did you take your breakfast? Yes? No? Yeah, you took your breakfast and you're hungry already. Some of us will be hungry in a while, okay? But Jesus fasted 40 days. He had no food for 40 days. And the tempter came to him. How do you feel when you are hungry, besides being angry? When you have those of you who have fasted before, you realize that you get very tired. Why? Because there's no food. Can I say this? It's a learning lesson for us. Satan often attacks us at our weakest point. I say that again. Satan often chooses the weakest point in your Christian life and attack there. Because you know why? Satan has been in this business of attacking people for the last 6,000 to 8,000 years. Because he has been around for a long time. He knows the way to overcome you is to hit you at where it's weakest. And can I say this? Satan knows all our weak points. He knows all our weak points. It could be money, it could be friends, it could be the internet, it could be anything. Satan knows our weak points. And Satan attacks at our weakest. Three temptations that Jesus had. Number one, he was commanding the stones to be made bread. Look at verse number four. Verse number three, sorry. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And so Jesus was challenged by Satan. Alright, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just change these stones to bread? Question for you. Do you think Jesus can do that? Yes. Question for you. Was he hungry? Yes, he was hungry after 40 days. Why didn't he change stones to bread? Because man shall not live. He was trying to teach us. Man shall not live by bread alone. The application is this. Man shall not live by what you think will satisfy you. Many people are broken in life because they only want what satisfies them. And when that is broken, what else do you have? But Jesus is trying to teach us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay, second temptation, throw yourself over off the temple. The Bible tells us the angels will take care of you. Assumption, presumption. Oh, I can go ahead and do this. God will take care of me. Be very careful. Can I say this? When we choose to do something we know is wrong, and we assume God will take care of us, think again. God is under no obligation to protect His children when they get out of the will of God. Just like I cannot take care of my child, my children, if they decide to join the gangs. Does that make sense? And when they do things that are wrong, I cannot stop the police from catching them and throwing them in jail. Does that make sense? I think it's simple logic. That's why Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know what Jesus is saying with a heart of submission to God? I know God can take care of me, but I'm not going to test Him because I love Him. I don't have to test my God. I trust Him. Alright? Number three. The Lord Jesus was shown the kingdoms of this world and He was invited to bow down to the devil. And the Lord Jesus Christ can have all the kingdoms of this world. We'll be focusing on this particular one. Now, in this passage that we've just read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 10, what do you think Satan was after? What do you think Satan was after? Okay, I'll just read. The devil taking him to a high mountain, show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What was Satan after? What do you think Satan was after? Anyone? What do you think Satan was after here? Yes?
Make you tell us to make you go the wrong way.
Okay, good. Okay. He was wanting us to go the wrong way. Alright, in the Bible tells us that if you will fall down and worship me, you know what is Satan after? He's after our worship. Satan is after our worship. It is very important for us to understand this. The word worship has the idea of paying homage, paying reverence to, and paying allegiance to. Paying allegiance. In other words, I will be loyal to you. You know what Satan say? If you are loyal to me, I'll give you all these things. How about that? God in this passage wants us to understand the devil wants our worship. He wants us to worship him. You know, the devil was after Peter, alright? You can stop writing now. He was after Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wanted him. Satan wanted Peter to destroy his life. He was after the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 2:11. You can follow along in your verses behind. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan wants to destroy us. He's after the Corinthian church. And the Bible says, Revelation 12, verse 9, Satan is after the whole world as well. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Do you know what he's after? He wants the world to worship him. That is his pride. That's why this world wants power. You know where it came from? How many of you have power struggles in your office? The boss versus another informal boss. When someone is the boss, another one wants to be the boss. And this boss don't like this big boss. And this boss will say bad things about this boss. And this big boss... Powers, where do you think it comes from? Do you realize the Bible says with pride cometh contention? So every time you have a contention, you can trace it to the fact that it comes from pride. Can I say this? If there's fighting in a family, mark it down. The Bible says there's pride in someone's life. Okay? If there's conflict in a church, there's pride in someone's life. That's what the Bible says. And we have to be very aware. If we are living the Bible, we cannot be proud. Because why? The Bible says with pride cometh contention. And by the way, if you are proud, or if we are proud, you realize we take on the personality of Satan? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 14 verse 14, he says, Satan, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan says, I will be like the Most High. And when you want to be in charge, you take on the personality of Satan. Now, I'm not saying in charge in the right way, meaning you're given the authority, and you're given a task, and you're doing it well. That's not a problem. But when you are not supposed to be in charge, and you want that, why you never ask me? I'm smarter than him. Huh? I know how to do that better than him. Why, of all people, why do you ask you? They should ask me, huh? Ask me. You know, have you had that kind of people before? Huh? You know what that is? That's pride. You know what I need to do? I need to be very careful there. Alright? You take on the personality of Satan. You know, so how does Satan aim to get the worship he so desperately wants? What did Satan use with Jesus here? I want us to learn, what did Satan use with Jesus here? He said, the Bible says he taken him on an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You know what Satan does to earn your worship? He uses this world. He uses the kingdom.